I am Kathy Bossert, interviewer for the Burnaby Mountain Oral History Project. Today is Wednesday, October 14, 2015. I am interviewing Maureen Olafson at Maureen's home in Burnaby. Maureen, tell me when and where you were born.
Born 1938, October 25th, in Sweden, in a very, very small town called Glöte, in the province of Härjedalen. And this is located in the middle of Sweden, next to the Norwegian border. And actually, my parents were both Canadians, and they just decided they were going to make one more trip to Sweden to see if that's where they wanted to settle, and I happened to be born there.
Oh.
So both of them were Swedes originally from neighboring towns, but they had become Canadians and were going back. And as I say, I was fortunate to be born there.
Now, when did your parents come to Canada?
My mother was seven, and they moved to Saskatchewan, was, of course, the famous place for people wanting to farm. And they got land that was very reasonable, sometimes free, and they agreed to farm it. And then my father came when he was 22, and he came with a friend from Sweden who was a baker. He had a bake shop in this little town of, I'm trying to remember now the town that my papa came from. It'll come to me later. Anyway, so my dad said, John, I'll pay your way if you come to Sweden, come to Canada with me, and we'll set up a bakery. And I personally had never known that my dad had ever had any baking experience, but anyway, so he and his friend John said they would go. So they came to Canada and opened up the Swedish bakery in Saskatchewan and did quite well until the 30s, of course, came along, and then it was tough times.
When did they come to Burnaby?
I would say probably it was about the time of the mink ranch, which would have been 43. Prior to that, they lived for a short time in East Vancouver on East 19th Street. And then they moved from there over to Burnaby when they decided to form this mink farm, the G.A.K. Mink Farm. Three partners, never having had any experience with fur-bearing animals, they decided they would start one because there was a demand for mink at that time. Fur coats were in great demand. But with all farming, it goes up and down. Sometimes it's very lucrative, sometimes it's not so. So they had some good days, good years, and some years that were a struggle.
Tell me your parents' names.
Axel Olafson was my papa, and my mother's name was Christine. She had been Erickson, but now with my father was Olafson, so Axel and Christine Olafson.
And what were their dates?
My dad was born in... April 1st, 1906, and my mother was born September 13th, 1906. So they were very similar in age.
Yes.
Yeah, very close in age.
And so they arrived in Burnaby in the early 40s mm-hmm. to start this mink farm, but having no knowledge. So how did they come to own a mink farm?
Well, that's a very good question, and I have to be honest that I really don't know. I just knew that it was something that was in demand at that time, and my father was looking for opportunities. He'd been a carpenter, he'd been a logger, he'd been in a very variety of occupations, but this sounded appealing to him. So I don't really know the answer to that. I wish I did.
Was it already a mink farm before he bought it with his partners?
Yes, it was. It hadn't been for long, but then they bought it from the original owners and then expanded. And they were one of the largest mink farms in British Columbia eventually. 1,200 mink was their maximum number, so there was a lot of building required to make housing for these mink. And my mom helped, and my sister Anita helped me, along with my mom, helped Dad to put the roof on and get the cages ready for the mink that were being born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said that it was actually a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Your father And who else?
Gus Skuftebe, a Norwegian fellow, and I don't know how they met, but they did decide together to form this partnership. So Gus is the G in the G-A-K Mink Ranch, and then the A is my father's name, Axel, and then K was my aunt, she's my mother's sister, Karen, was the K for G-A-K Mink Farm. Uh-huh. And so that was the three of them that joined together.
And so there were buildings up there already.
Yes.
And it had been operating as a mink farm for
yes.
just a short period.
Right.
I should ask where the farm was located. And actually, you have given me yeah. a letterhead that shows that the farm was located on Curtis Street and 4th Avenue. So would that have been in the old Hastings Grove subdivision?
I don't know about that.
I have an old map here from 1946. So,
oh, do you? Okay.
So you would have. Now this is Cliff right
Cliff
here.
Cliff Avenue. Mm-hmm. Spurling.
So coming up, Curtis, okay,
Curtis.
Past Duffy.
Yes, past Duffy.
Past First.
And yes, it's Fourth.
Up on Fourth.
Fourth Avenue. Yes, and actually it was close to the. Well, it was at the end of the Fourth Avenue. Now, is that surprising to see these streets going across here?
Because there were no streets going across there.
No, there weren't any at that time.
So what streets would have existed then?
Well
Curtis would have gone.
Curtis and 4th Avenue, that was it. There weren't any others across here. And I don't even remember any of these others. Arden.
Well, Arden wouldn't have.
I don't know that.
So it was Curtis and 4th.
4th, yeah, 4th. And we were quite close to the end of 4th Avenue. And it didn't go any further, and there were no cross streets.
Okay.
So
you didn't, you wouldn't have known, your family wouldn't have known that that was the old Hastings Grove subdivision. That kind of memory had been lost from the neighborhood.
I guess so. When you think of a subdivision, you think of sort of housing, but of course it's just lots that have been portioned off. And no, I wasn't aware of it, and I don't know if my parents were either.
Yeah. Well, it never really did
materializing.
Get built on.
No. Okay.
Because it was in 1911, 1912 that this fellow Munson decided to develop this subdivision, and he wasn't able to. He sold the lots, but he wasn't able to pay off the property himself. So the owners actually had to foreclose on the mortgages, and people lost money on buying this property.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so, I've learned something. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, well,
interesting.
So Curtis Street. Now, how far up would Curtis Street have gone up the mountain? Would it have gone as... Now, this
easy,
is Arden, which is 10th.
10th, yeah.
So would it have gone past 4th up
yes,
a little bit
yes,
further?
Yes, it did. Yes, it could have gone to Arden. I'm not familiar with that name, but it could have gone that far. I would say we were halfway up Curtis there.
Okay, well, that would be
4th
about
Avenue.
Right then.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
then it just stopped.
And then
was there like a
trail?
Mm-hmm,
there were trails. There was a fellow that lived up there, and he lived in a shack. I never saw it, but somewhere tucked away in the mountain there. And he was called the Umbrella Man. We called him that because every time we saw him, he carried an umbrella with him, tall, slim man, and he walked everywhere. He walked all the way down to the city of Vancouver and did his shopping and then all the way back. That's 12 miles. I believe it's 12 miles to the city of Vancouver. Anyway, he was in fine form and had his umbrella, so he was ready.
And he lived up
somewhere
up
in the woods there, yes.
Wow.
I never see where he lived, but it was quite interesting.